Okay, let's do this. No, that's I do it now. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Literal Lessons 212. I'm a mess right now. Like, just bad day
just
for me.
Just now?
This has not been a good day. I don't know what has been going on. We're
Angelo
recording it.
Has been lying. He's been conniving.
Non-stop lying
he's
to
been,
us.
He's been late. It's just been a bad day for Ro, man.
Just awful.
We're starting so late because of Angelo's fault. I want that to be known.
On the other end of it, first of all, welcome back, Carter. You know, how was your little vacation?
Stressful.
That is exactly how we want vacations. It also isn't just me. Vancouver regionals, you know, West Coast regional, we didn't get a finish to it until around 8 o'clock anyway. It's only 8:35. It's not that bad.
Some of us has to get up at 4 in the morning, Angelo.
Yeah, but it's only 7:30 for you in Cornfield time, so it's fine still.
He's right.
Jay, are you getting up at 4:30?
No.
No.
No? Okay, good. Good. See,
no, Jay does not get
fine.
Up that early.
I'm like 8 o'clock normally.
I start my day with a Snapchat from Jay of either Murphy or Yui. I don't. It depends on the day.
Yeah, it's mostly.
Is that like the omen of the day where it's like, oh, you see Murphy, it's like, oh no, this is not going to be good.
No, Murphy's great. Yui, for the record, is also great.
They're both pretty great. Murphy's a monster, but he's the most adorable monster in the world, and Whiskey is just she's my queen. And I would do anything for her.
So we
had a regional this weekend.
Yeah, we did, and a good one at that.
Yeah,
Vancouver, I
got to watch. I think all of top eight. I didn't get to watch much of Swiss rounds in day two, just because my cell service at work is hit or miss. And so Jay, you can probably attest to this. Dollar Generals, you don't get service.
I don't do Dollar Generals.
You're so lucky. They suck.
A couple of my stores are really bad for service. I know it was like 2 weeks ago, I was trying to watch Man United, and they were playing Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinals, and it was in overtime, and I couldn't watch any of it, and I went to my car to go watch the penalty shootout just to see our player charge down the field and score a game winner in the last minute. So I was out in the parking lot with good connection, jumping around. It was a good time.
We're still a sports podcast.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always. It's a different kind of football.
But yeah, like I was luckily able to catch quite a bit today of everything that was going on. I was able to watch the entirety of Top Cut, the last two rounds as well of Swiss. I believe that I caught I might have caught like bits and pieces of the first round today too. Mm-hmm. But it was a good day. Vancouver was a really fun tournament with a lot of really cool stuff. And yeah,
and it's just I think it's a very historic setting for VGC. It is where 2013 Worlds was held. The infamous Cybertron Zang Worlds, where the Pokemon Company at that venue decided, yeah, we should make Will-O-Wisp a little more accurate, you know, just in case.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I know I've never been to the venue. I know from a lot of the people who have been there, though, they say that this is one of the best venues that they have, events in North America. And so we did get from that it is a venue where a lot of star players end up showing up, and especially when we get to Top Cut.
There's so many names here in Top Cut that I'm just like, oh, I know this player and that player and this player. And, oh, there's so many.
Yeah, we'll go throw open the mouse. And again, like what we're saying, James Evans, Brady Smith, Scott Iwafuchi, Michael Zhang, Ashton Cox, Brandon Tugendhagen, Neil Patel, Brandon Davies, going down Marcus Dion in 10th, like Aaron Traylor, 16th, Alberto Lara, Ale, Ragov. Like there are so many great players. Fun fact, Carter. Jess forgot your last name and thought Carter Davis was you and said, look at Carter go. And I'm like, Jess, that's
not Carter.
That's not our Carter. And she's like, oh.
You wouldn't catch me in Canada.
Absolute king out here running the board, making day two. His first ever day two, right?
Didn't even
And I'm already home, guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, because you didn't even know where Vancouver was. Yeah. It's right next to Missouri.
It is. It's actually right up above the Mason-Dixon line. So.
No one is going to get these jokes.
We do, and that's what matters. Before we dive into the teams, just go into some of the usage. Fluttermane stays on top for day one usage. The only Pokemon with over 50%. Followed by Overpon Wellspring, Incineroar, Landorus Incarnate firmly in that fourth slot, Raging Bolt, who stays in the top five for usage, and an old face, it's kind of a new face, Urshifu Rapid Strike, solidly in the sixth spot, a little over a quarter usage, and also about 5 points more than its single striking brother. I think we're kind of, just the way things have been moving in the format, I think we can safely say that the format is swinging back towards Urshifu Rapid Strike in terms of best bear.
Looking at day two usage here, what's really interesting is, you know, you were talking about how, like, Urshifu Rapid Strike kind of fell off there for a minute, and like it's always been in like top 12 in usage, right? But like where it was 1 and 2 and 3 for the longest time, it's tied for first in day two for like usage.
It's
Incineroar. There's more Urshifus than there are Fluttermanes. Granted, it's by one, but still.
I think another Pokemon that, again, was something that we really weren't seeing a lot of the past few months that came back is Champowl as well. Champowl coming in fourth for day two usage. And when you look at a lot of the Pokemon around it, Champowl is an amazing partner for the Urshifu Rapid Strike. You're able to threaten Raging Bolt, threaten Landorus, do neutral damage into the Wellspring before Terra. You threaten the Amoongus. And going down Rillaboom, like a lot of the Pokemon like right below Chen are Pokemon that are weak to it. And I think that kind of goes into one of the conversations that we had with the special event with the Blizzard team that Teo, like the Snow team that Teo ran, won with. Ice is such an amazing offensive type. And one of the first things that was talked about in the beginning of the day one cast yesterday was how many Articuno are there? How much snow are we going to see? Was it a one-time thing, or is this a team that we're actually going to see? And one of the things they brought up was that I believe, we'll see what the final number is, but yeah, there were only 13 Articuno out of 400. Yep. The highest placement was 39th, which is just on the bubble.
Yes, we had 36.
Yep, we had 36 players in day two. But yeah, Articuno, while the Articuno itself and the snow team itself didn't see any play, ice types, though, are still really, really great. And I think that's when people, specifically looking at balance comps, saying, let's go and put make Champowl a part of our balance team. So we saw that a lot in Top Cut. A Pokemon that I still think is underexplored is Baxcalibur, being able to be a really strong offensive ice and dragon type, which we didn't see many Baxcalibur. We only saw four.
There was four. Highest ranking one was 6 and 3 at 79th in the hands of Braden Clemens.
Yeah.
With Archaladon on it, too.
Yep. The
Rain Core with Baxcalibur. This seems cool.
So that's been a rain team that's been popping. That'll come in and out of style. But even like using Bax as another option on your balance team could be another option. But in general, like, ice types in this format are really, really strong. And it's something that while the special event didn't, the snow teams didn't translate, the fact that people are like, okay, we should, you know, use ice type Pokemon and ice type offense, that did translate. And you can see that in the usage stats, with Champ Powell being really up there for day two usage, and even in these top eight teams, you have three Champ Powells in the top eight, which is very impressive, mm-hmm. along with another one just in the top nine, in ninth place. But let's dive into this top eight. And first of all, congratulations, James Evans. It's someone who was able to win NAIC as a master before winning his first regional as a master. And he did it with a team that we saw him already make a finals with. And something that is a team that I think that, like, literal lessons in general, we talk about a lot. And that is the Yauzhen Fire, King Gambit balance teams. The idea
Jay, being... what do you think of this team?
Yeah. Jay, what do you think of this exact six?
If you haven't been watching for the past, like...
month?
Yeah, months, 2 months. I think that this team is, like, the bee's knees. I think that this is just, like, one of the best teams in the format, period. I've been playing it whenever I, you know, jump on and play, Reg F. James did make some tweaks to this team, specifically that the Flutter main, instead of being Sash, is now Specs, and the Rillaboom, instead of being Terra Grass, is now Terra Fire. Everything else here is exactly the same as the team that he brought to Knoxville. And this team is just, it's just really awesome. It has all the components that you could ask for, in a solid balance team. It has good support. It has really amazing offense. It has some good speed on it with Gouging Fire and Fluttermane and some priority through Rillaboom and King Gambit. Landorus is just a monster. For example, in the finals of Game 3, we got to see it take out a Raging Bolt at +1 special defense.
As soon as that happened, I put in our chat, I'm like, how did that possibly kill?
Yeah, it only took a plus one. It took a neutral breaking swipe from Gouging Fire and then an Earth Power and was able to take the KO, and it was locked from there. I mean, I think Brady could have played it out, but just to see where it got, but he basically just had an Incineroar left. And it was pretty over from there. But yeah, this team is just awesome. I mean, it just has so many good components and modes to it. Ogre Pond, like, is just a great glue Pokemon for it. And we got to see, it might have been in top eight, with James Evans, to where there was, it was either top eight or top four. There was like a choice scarf Urshifu Rapid Strike. It might have not been James's team now that I'm thinking about it, but we got to see Ogre Pond join the field at the very end and just lock out the Urshifu Rapid Strike.
I do think it was James. I remember it was a Scarf Rapid Strike Urshifu next to...
Yes.
Was that his match against Michael Zhang?
Yes, it was.
Did Michael have the Scarf?
No,
it wasn't Michael Zhang.
Michael Zhang played Side Spam.
It was...
It was Ashton, right?
Because...
Yeah, it was Ashton. Yeah, it was
I
his
he
match
against
Ashton.
For some reason.
Yes, no, because he had the terrifying King Gambit.
Yeah, so
he was just able to pin that Urshifu in game one.
Yeah, it was just it was just the Urshifu against Wellspring and Gouging Fire, and he was just able to click follow me, breaking swipe, and it wasn't doing a ton of damage, but once the Urshifu is locked into that water type attack, you literally can't win. And to be able to get, so it was a matter of when, not if. I think this team is amazing. I think one of the great things with James is that he's stuck with this team in this comp and has improved on it. I think that, and we're going to see that with another player who made top four. But one of the things, especially in a format like this, where there are a lot of teams, you have to accept that you can't cover everything. And it's honestly at a point where if you are developing a single archetype, moving with the format, again, going from Sash Flutter to Specs Flutter, changing a Terra type, those small tweaks of an item or a terror type could keep your team like modern with the current metagame, and then the experience you have, the reps you have with this team is just becomes so much more important, and it makes sure that you, as a player, you even if it's a team that you have, like your opponent is using a team that you really haven't seen before, you at least know your lines, and you have your you know your couch, you know your comforts. And congratulations to him to sticking with it even after losing one finals to give Gouging Fire its first win.
Yeah,
I think it might have been James in one of his interviews said something along the lines of, "I played what I know, and like I was comfortable with." I'm pretty sure that was something that James had said, and like it really is true, especially in a format like this that has really developed and like I don't want to say it's stagnant, but like is very developed at this point, and like you know what the top threats are. Playing the bonds that you know and the teams that you have developed over this long of a time, being able to just say, okay, I know everything about this. How much are you willing to bet that that you know more than I do about it?
Yeah, and the tweaks because, like, were super impactful too. Like the Terra Fire and Rillaboom was extremely clutch for him in finals. You know, you were talking about the rise of Qian Pao again, and allowing yourself to have that good defensive typing into the Qian Pao Icicle Crash has actually made a huge difference in specifically game one. You know, he was able to Terra Fire, take an Icicle Crash, and use it as a pivot into different Icicle Crashes for his Landorus, and that was really essential in locking the game up for him.
Something else that really impressed me was game three, turn one. James's Fluttermane lived a grassy terrain boosted wood hammer from the opposing Rillaboom. And I'm sure it was on literally one. And again, my first thought is that's someone who knows that like you can willingly stay in on this and take that hit and be able to know that you're going to live, to be able to force them to attack into you again the following turn.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, you didn't give them a free knockout there is so huge, because now you get another hit off. And granted, obviously you're not going to, because you're going to take a grassy glide, but it still forces them to have to attack into that slot again. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the casters were saying, if it was, like, the two Rillaboom, so not moving to Brady's team here, the casters are saying, well, if Brady had the metal plate and not the AV, he would have picked it up. And that is the case, but it's, again, it's just knowing your calcs better than your opponent and having that in the back of your head. Brady's team, though, it is an amazing team. There are some similarities. Well, a few, you have the Rillaboom and the Landers as well, along with the other newly introduced Past Paradox Legendary from the DLC, Raging Bolt. And the team's finalized, like, rounded out with the Terra Steel, Urshifu Rapid Strike with the Choice Scarf, Terra Ghost Goggles Incineroar, and the Terra Ghost Classic Sash Xianpao. So I'd say that this is a very standard balanced team that has been popping around for about a month or so. I want to say it was around GC1 this exact six popped up, specifically with the Combined on the Raging Bolt. And it's, again, this is a really, really powerful team, and there's a lot of amazing options that you're able to go through, like choose when picking matchups up for which four Pokemon to use.
I think that it was game two in the finals where Brady's Raging Bolt went down to like four and was able to just sit on the field and gain back so much HP between leftovers and grassy terrain. It was at back at full HP. It's like, oh, this is so bad.
Yeah, it's like
never giving the opportunity to be able to pressure it to be able to take it out.
It reminds me a ton of the Golden Go balance with like the Nasty Plot and the leftovers next to Rillaboom. A lot of those would go Terra Dragon. It's just like a really good defensive type overall. But like Raging Bolt just does it better because you're able to use, you know, stuff like Calm Mind here to
boost your defenses.
Get your defenses going, and then also on the other side of things, click your priority Thunderclap, which doesn't worry about you know, your speed tiers or anything like that. That Golden Go does have to worry about. You know, it was really awesome, and I think that Brady played that game too, like, so incredibly well with his pivoting of the Incineroar. You know, just switching it in and out, never letting the Gouging Fire get set up, never letting any of James's physical attackers really get going. Yeah, the Terra Steel Urshifu was something really cool because you can use that in the face of Fluttermane and have them have to click their weaker Shadow Ball into you, which they would really prefer not to be clicking. They would much rather click Moonblast. And yeah, I mean, this team is definitely like your kind of very standard balance here with, you know, the Bolt, the Champao, the Scarf Urshifu, and the double fake out core. But I also love the twist of a Will-O-Wisp on the Incineroar over something like Knockoff. And that's something that's it. Also extremely impactful.
Absolutely love it.
So Brady said in his, I believe it was his top four post-game interview, he played against Will-O-Wisp Incineroar in GC2, and whatever team he was using at the time, it just got wrecked by...
Just got completely bodied.
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm using that now. Can't beat it. Join it.
This is mine.
Yes. And Will-O-Wisp, we have seen a few other players dabble around with it. I know that, I believe Jody Azzarelli ran it in Charlotte on his Incineroar. Mm-hmm. There's been a few other people to just play around with that slot, dropping the knockoff for something like, again, Will-O-Wisp, Taunt, even Helping Hand. There's still so many sets that Incineroar can play that we really haven't even experimented with at this point. And the fact that this, like, it's one of the best Pokemon in the game, and we still haven't, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface with it, is super intriguing. I think the other thing that I'd say is also interesting is the Terra Steel on the Urshifu. We're used to seeing the offensive Terra type on, especially on the Scarf Urshifus, being able to use Terra to make up for the lack of damage that you usually get with the Mystic Water. So I think that's another interesting twist to it, going with pretty much defensive Terras in all of these Pokemon, not a single offensive Terra.
I think that's the best way to use Terra, in my opinion. I mean, that was a big thing in my UDL run, was that a lot of my Pokemon were using really solid defensive Terras, which just allows you to have so much extra counterplay into, you know, especially this hyper, you know, this very powerful format that we're in right now. I mean, you don't really want to be switching something in as even on a resisted hit when, you know, you're still going to take 20-25% some of the time. The only Pokemon on this team that really likes to switch in is Incineroar and Rillaboom. The rest here, you would really prefer not to take any damage if you don't have to.
No.
And I guess Raging Bolt to an extent too, we saw it as a good pivot for the Heat Crashes and things like that. But I think Defensive Terra is such a fantastic way to play the game. There's just so much extra, so many extra options that it opens to you. And the Defensive Terra on the Urshifu stops your Raging Bolt mirrors from being a, an auto loss sometimes.
It lets you bring the Urshifu into that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can then click Close Combat, which still does, a big chunk. And pairs well with, Qian Pao as well. So it's just, it's a nice little option that you have. And I think it's beautiful. I love this team here, too.
Moving on to our next team, and what you're going to see is, again, a trend of people, the players who have done well in this tournament sticking with single Pokemon. Scott Iwafuchi has been working with Amoongus, Incineroar, Porygon 2 balance from the start of this format, and the other three spots has been changed around. The Landorus, Roaring Moon, Goldengo has been the common three to go with the Amoongus, P2, and Incin. I've actually tried piloting this team. I wanted to use it in a USPA match against one of my dear friend Jacob. And the 2-3, I played like 2 or 3 best of threes with it, and I went 0-2 every single one. This is a very, 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 very difficult team to pilot. You have the redirection, double setup with both Nasty Plot, Goldengo, and Dragon Dance, Roaring Moon. The Porygon 2 for the speed control is amazing. Into like being able to get Goldengo into a better position speed-wise. Even the Roaring Moon, if you don't Dragon Dance, it's fast, but it's not like super, super fast. And could work under the Trick Room. And of course, Amoongus under Trick Room is always just so threatening to your opponent, especially if they don't have Amoongus answers on their team. What are your guys' thoughts on this six?
My first question to you, mm-hmm. Why is this so hard?
So the reason why, I mean, maybe it was me where it's, I just wasn't used to it. I was playing a different Roaring Moon team at the time. The difficulty I found in it is specifically with, if you aren't able to get your boost, if you aren't able to position yourself into get into your boosts, you do lose, your damage output isn't as strong. Specifically, like, if you have to bring Incin, P2, and Amoongus to a game, you're really, that fourth Pokemon you're bringing, that has to be the Mon that really puts a lot of the damage pressure on, and if that Mon isn't able to, like, if you can't get that Nasty Plot or that Dragon Dance off, or if they're able to get your Landorus, in, like, a bad position, it definitely makes it so, like, it definitely is, like, position heavy. You have to really grind out the first 2, 3, 4 turns to get yourself in position. This isn't a, you can just pick this up and like lead this and this and you'll be good. It's definitely something that I feel like you need, like for me, at least if I wanted to play it, I would have needed a lot more practice. And it's not saying that these other teams are easier to pick up, but like using Gouging Fire as an example, you can clearly see the synergies of click Howl next to other attacker, and it's like it's a more streamlined gameplay, and of course not, there's a lot of intricacies to the team, but at like a base level, I think like anyone can kind of pick up a Gouging Fire team. Well, anyone with any sort of VGC can pick like a team like that up and understand this is what I'm supposed to, or at least have an basic understanding, this is what I'm supposed to do. This team, it just felt, at least, again, for me, it felt more complicated. Okay. Also, sometimes I'm not good at this team, at playing this game, so.
I, like, in my experience, like, the double setup stuff is pretty hard to pick, like, which one you really want to go with. It's hard to sometimes bring both of them in the same match. Mm. You also, you know, if you lose your redirection, if you lose your fake out, if you lose your speed control early, you can really put yourself in a bind. But like we saw, you know, each of these setup Pokemon do also have these damage boosting items on them. It's a booster attack Roaring Moon. It's the metal coat on the Goldengo. You know, like there is a lot of damage to be had here. And like when you add Porygon 2 into the equation, who, you know, in a lot of cases gets this special attack downward boost, you know, there is a lot of damage to be had here and a lot of pressure as well with Spore and Parting Shot and Substitute, for example, and the just ability to set up. Yeah. But Scott played this team, like, really beautifully throughout the tournament, especially in his top 8 match, the Roaring Moon. He pivoted towards it in games 2 and 3, and it was just an absolute monster, and it was just taking names.
Yeah, Roaring Moon, easily one of my favorite Pokemon of this generation to use.
Never gonna guess that.
I'm not even gonna say it. I'm too tired to even do it and like, deal with you. Ma-oo-woon. Anyways. Blame the other. I'm not this way because of me.
We're blaming you.
Yeah, you can blame me. But yeah, like this is a Pokemon, especially the booster attack. There's the amount of damage it can do, especially once you get a Dragon Dance off. You can sweep through a lot of teams. Anything that's neutral to either knockoff or acrobatics is getting severely chunked, if not just completely dropping. Which is great. I'd say the best way to put it, this is a very high skill cap team, and if you have the experience and the skill to pilot this team, like Scott does, you're going to get very, very, very far because you can see everything planned out, and you can pick the right four, the exact position to click that boosting move, to get that substitute off, to go for that spore. And that's definitely, like, again, like, that's, if you do have that skill cap, it's clearly a top-tier team. One other thing I'd like to talk about before we do move on to the next team is the No Protect Amoongus. And I know that wasn't the only one we saw this weekend, seeing it carry Sludge Bomb over Protect. What's your guys' take on that, the No Protect Amoongus?
It allows you to hit the Rillabooms, which is good. I mean, this isn't like a super new concept, I don't think. It's
we've seen it before, but it's returning. It's popping up again more than it has.
I do think that Protect is essential. You know, like on most Amoongus sets, but I do think it kind of makes sense here. You know, like it gives you the ability to hit into Pokemon like Rillaboom, allows you to hit Fluttermane for pretty decent damage, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean that you automatically lose that. It adds, you know, a lot of extra pressure. I do think that Protect is always a great slot on Amoongus, but I don't mind this year.
Yeah, I just found it interesting. Speaking of interesting teams, moving on to another person who has been pretty much playing the same exact core, Michael Zhang with his newest iteration of the Tyranitar Koma-O team.
Garlic, I love everything Michael Zhang does. I'm just throwing that out there.
We are Michael Zhang fans through and
huge
through.
Huge Michael Zhang fans.
This team is so unique. I absolutely love it. The Misty Terrain Whimsicott, Charm Whimsicott, just everything about this Whimsicott is so adorable. I love it. Yeah, you're Terra Rock, so you don't take Chip from your Sandstorm next to Tyranitar. It's so cool, man. I love this.
Yeah, like, we have, like, the classics, the Tyranitar and the Koma-O, the Iron Defense Body Press stuff, which, Jay, we know you're such a huge fan of it. And it feels like every single time he brings this team in, there's something different about it with the other four slots. This time, we have Ogrepan Heartflame, which, with no grass coverage, going with Ivy Cushel Follow Me, Stomping Tantrum, and Spiky Shield, the Whimsicott, Tailwind Moonblast, Misty Terrain Charm, with Covert Cloak and Terra Rock. And then we also have a size span package with the Iron Crown and the Indeedee female. No Trick Room on the Indeedee. It's Protect, Follow Me, Helping Hand, and D-Gleam. And it is also a Terra Psychic, Calm Mind, Iron Crown, which is two things that we really haven't seen with the Iron Crown too much. So even the Pokemon that are kind of like standard-ish, Michael's saying, nope, I don't want you to do that. You have to do something different. And what it's going to work on this team so perfectly. This is, and all of Michael's teams are so cool.
Yeah, I think the big reason why you can't run like the Calm Mind in most occasions is because of Iron Crown's bad matchup into Incineroar. But the rest of this team has just so much Incineroar hate on it between the Stomping Tantrum on the Ogrepan Hearthflame, the Tyranitar and its rock stabs and low kick, Body Press Como, specifically those three Pokemon right there, just such good Incineroar counters, like, through and through, that you can kind of get away with it and just say, okay, like, that's fine. You might have your Incineroar, you know, be able to not take any expanding forces, and you can, like, parting shot off my Ndidi or whatever. I'm just going to take out the rest of your team and then save my Como for last, and what are you going to do to that? You know,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, and even, I think another, again, people using the same thing but changing their teams up. I do believe that the Stone Edge on the Tyranitar is new. Probably there to pick up...
Was Rock Slide?
No, it has Rock Slide too. I believe was...
Okay.
I want to say it was Terra Blast, and I think it's gotten to the point where...
Can I clicking put rocks, players up on Lab Mouse, or is it only Mons? Is there a way to look up exact players?
From recent? I don't know. That would be a Tim question if you want to... try to find out what we vamp. At least my thought on why, if whatever move it was before, if it was a Terra Blast or something else, clicking Rock Slide or Knockoff with Tyranitar, you're going to want to do that so often that instead of having another coverage move, having a move that, while inaccurate, is practically a single target nuke off of the insanely high base attack and the stab that Tyranitar gives it. That at least would be my thought process behind it. Same reason why you would have Fissure or Sheer Cold on a Pokemon or Guillotine. You're not going to click it a lot, but you want to have that delete button option for the event where you do need it. Sir, while you're looking, is there anything else you want to talk about with Michael Zhang's team?
I can't get this to work. I give up.
Okay, well, we're moving on. Yeah, moving into... So actually, the next two teams, they're six Mon mirrors, except the items are different. Ashton Cox and Braden Tutenhagen. So Jim Pao, King Gambit, Ogrepan Heartflame, Amoongus, Scarf Urshifu, Rapid Strike, and Raging Bolt. The differences between the two teams is that Ashton had Swords Dance on his King Gambit, while Brandon went for three attacks with the Iron Head. You had on Ashton's team, he went for the AV Raging Bolt with Thunderclap, Snarl, Draco Meteor, and Electro Web. Brandon went for Safety Goggles with Protect, Dragon Pulse, Thunderbolt, and Thunderclap. Both of these Amoongus were no Protect Amoongus. The difference being the Terra type. Brandon's was Water. Ashton's is Terra Fairy. What is the other difference? The only other difference is the Terra type on the Urshifu. Ashton went with the offensive Terra Water. Brandon went with the defensive Terra Grass. This is just another take on balance that is more based around like King Gambit being Incineroar, like the Defiant as an Incineroar deterrent to help the other physical attackers on the team get damage off without having to deal with Intimidates.
Another set of the no grass move Ogrepan Hearthflames here with the Stomping Tantrum too.
I think the Stomping Tantrum is probably directly due to Raging Bolt, because against a lot of these Ogrepans, like the Dragon type in general, you're able to switch in,
Got to be Bolt and Incineroar, right?
Yep. Yeah, being able to click a ground type attack into that. Especially with that +1 is really great once you terrestrialize.
Yeah, it also makes clicking fake out into you not a very safe option either, because you can just get that super-powered stomping tantrum on the next turn with your Terra Fire and just nuke something off the face of the earth. You know,
I'm curious. It seems like there was quite a few like Hearthflame Ogre Pawns running around with Stomping Tantrum this weekend. Is that like something that's starting to pop up more frequently, or is it just like my astute observation from this weekend?
I think it's been growing. I think Ogre Pawn Hearthflame has been growing. It feels like every single like VGC concentrated Twitter person, or just in general, a lot of people have been saying Hearthflame Ogre Pawn, like, we haven't been... Oh, Wellspring is really great at its support role. It's a great glue mon. And honestly, Carter, this is one that you said. It's Hearthflame gets plus one attack once it terrestrializes, and people started realizing... And that, like, that plus one from that the terrestrialization, you get that every time you switch in.
Mm-hmm.
Just like another Pokemon last generation who would go plus one every time we'd switch in Zacian. And people are saying, is this just slightly more balancedation? And it might be.
So, I was looking on Twitter for Scott's team. I was looking to see if he had posted a rental of it. He has not. But one of the things that I just scrolling through his timeline. You know the meme that Moxie Boosted posted a while back of what Pokemon take has you like this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
It's like the Patrick meme of him chained to a rock. Scott says, Ogre Pond is more toxic than Urshifu. And like...
I don't think so, but...
But like, also at the same time, I understand...
Yeah, like, I mean...
I get it, but also, you doing okay there, buddy?
Yeah, pretty much from Michael Zhang, Ashen Cox, Brandon, and then the next one we'll talk about, Neil's team, all four of them have the Hearthflame Ogre Pawn. While Wellspring did win the event, Hearthflame had more appearances, double the appearances in Top Cup. And I think it's people coming to realize... a Pokemon that can go plus one with Stomping Tantrum and a 100% accurate move, 100 base power that crits 30% of the time is really good. Whether you're running with the Follow Me, with the Sword Stance, heck, you could even do 3-attack Spiky Shield on this mon instead of having that support, like that utility move, just going with Fire Grass and then a coverage move like Stomping Tantrum. This is a, I think. This is a Pokemon whose usage is only going to go up, and maybe we see a situation where Hearthflame overtakes Wellspring, just like Rapid Strike Urshifu just overtook Single Strike Urshifu, so, as more and more people play around with it.
I did look it up. There were 12 Hearthflame Ogre Pawns running Stomping Tantrum this weekend, a total of 18% of them.
Okay, and...
In contrast, 100% of them were running Ivy Cudgel.
Yeah, one of the teams that didn't, and one of the Hearthflames that didn't use that, moving to our seventh place player, Neil Patel, he used a lot of common Pokemon, but sets that didn't see too often. He was the only Urshifu Rapid Strike to have Mystic Water. This event we were seeing, like, in the top cut,
like,
compared to all the starts that
okay,
we saw.
Okay, you scared me for a second.
Nope, I caught myself. However, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the only person using substitute Fluttermane.
I can tell you, give me 2 seconds. I'm going to say probably not.
Sub is, like, really interesting on Fluttermane. Dropping the Ghost-type move left it, like, no answers into the Terra Steel Urshifu. But, you know, it's not the first time we've seen a tech move like this on a Fluttermane. This team is very, very reminiscent of Wolfie's Charlotte-winning team.
Yeah.
It has a lot of the same tools outside of the Ferrigarath, which is Tornadus now. it's a Calm Mind Flutter. You know, it's substitute Flutter on this team rather than the Calm Mind. Follow Me Ogre Pond instead of the Swords Dance. Like, a lot of the concepts here are very similar to what Wolfie was doing on that team with the Grassy Glide, Ogre Pond, and the Rillaboom combo, the Rapid Strike Urshifu, the Incineroar, the Flutter main, the Booster Flutter main. This one was Booster's special attack rather than, like, this speed.
And the Booster special attack makes a lot more sense with the substitute.
Yeah.
In general, for these Booster Flutter mains, I know another common Flutter main that that didn't really have the best weekend at Vancouver, but has been around, is the Booster Speed with Taunt, Icy Wind, and Moonblast. So the no ghost on Flutter isn't super uncommon, I'd say, at this point. Honestly, it's, unless you're running a spec set, you're actually, odds are you aren't going to, if you see Booster, odds are you aren't going to see that ghost type coverage on it.
Odds are, I think you got to go to the bookies and redo your odds, because, like, the majority of them run Shadow Ball, Moonblast, plus Icy Wind, if it's, like, Booster.
Very recently, it's been Taunt over the Moonblast. I'm sorry, Taunt over the Shadow Ball.
Brother, name one. Like,
I mean,
like I don't know where you're getting that from, but
I'm just saying that's what I've been. I'll say personally, that's what I've been using.
Okay,
what
well, I do so Angelo's data
Taunt
is
as of late on Lab Mouse. It has not it's barely peaked over 30%, while Shadow Ball has rarely dropped below 60%. So you definitely need to go and get your odds checked. I don't want to be betting with you.
Not my bookie.
Maybe it's changed recently.
Or should I take Angelo as my bookie since his odds are so bad?
Good thing Landmouse has this really cool tool where he can look at the moves, because yeah, I mean, like, I understand dropping Shadow Ball. You never want to draw Moonblast. But, like, I think Dazzling Gleam is, like, the one that you maybe drop.
I do agree with that.
Occasions, like, you just lose so many matchups without Shadow Ball. That ghost type damage is such a great neutral type into the offense. Like, when I've seen, like, Booster Speed with Taunt and Icy Wind, like, I normally see one or the other. You know, it's not both. I know that, you know, obviously you've been seeing some, but I don't think that that's, like, super consistent. I mean, there's just so much defensive typings that counter Flutter main directly. Your Terra Fires, your Terra Steels, for example, your Terra Poisons, which have been running around. Like, you then lose your entire Landorus matchup, you know, without the Shadow Ball. So it's just, seems a little weird. And it definitely didn't really pay off in top 8 for Neo. Obviously, it paid off throughout his entire run, because he did incredibly well up to top 8. But, like, you saw the Terra Steel Urshifu really stop that Flutter main. I also think that the substitute Flutter main was a little bit of just, like, it was a great call, but, like, if Urshifu Rapid Strike wasn't as popular as it was. Because just being able to snap through that substitute and pick up the KO anyway is really brutal.
Yeah, so, like, especially tech like that, it might have been maybe more day one-ish. Neil did go undefeated in day one, but also I wouldn't say limped into top cut, but he did have a 2-3 day two Swiss going into the top cut. So I think that as well, where when there were more, just again, the top Pokemon ended up being Urshifu Rapid Strike in day two, something that we hadn't seen in Regulation F with the Rapid Strike usage being that high. I think if he went into the event knowing what we now know, maybe instead of that substitute, it would have just been, maybe he just goes, like, sticks with a Calm Mind set with a Terra Grass, or just goes 3 attack booster, or maybe even Specs or something like that, a different set that could have helped more against the Urshifu in day two. Want to get into the final? This is another very interesting team, the final team that made top cut.
Someone went 4-5 with War Turtle.
Good on them.
That's not what I asked.
Today I learned that Iron Moth got Meteor Beam too.
Yeah. Iron Moth, Top Cut, another event. This is a very interesting team. You have some aspects of Hard Trick Room with the Indeedee, Ursaluna, and Gallade. You have the Iron Crown, Indeedee, Psyspam package. Ogre Pond Wellspring, as we were just talking about. Not the damage dealer like Heartflame, but the Glumon. And yeah, the Meteor Beam Power Herb, Iron Moth.
I love Iron Moth.
It kind of is replacing that Armoru spot, and it's allowing you to have like a faster fire type with Meteor Beam there. This team was unfortunately victim to one of the funniest turns in Pokemon I might have ever seen, where like he missed Meteor Beam turn one, and then on the next turn, it was facing a Tornadus Urshifu, and there was Gallade next to Iron Moth. He Terra Grassed the Gallade and then clicked Sludge Wave and just killed his own Gallade. And the casters were like, that might have been the worst Terra that I've ever seen. And then in the post-game interview, because he actually ended up winning the set against Trailer.
That's even better.
That he was like, yeah, you know, I was expecting, he was like, I made a hard read. I was expecting Tailwind into Surging Strikes on the Iron Moth and just picking up the KO, but instead they just double attacked and it didn't work out for me. And yeah, it was really funny, and the casting of it was, that might have been the worst Terra I've ever seen. It was just so
what
funny.
Was this in Top Cut?
Yeah, no this was in Top Cut. It was round 13.
Yeah, okay. Round 13. It was fantastic. It was also an Ursaluna Trick Room Mirror. It was wild. But like, yeah, I mean, after missing the Meteor Beam, like, the game was in a rough spot for Brandon, for sure. But then just, like, that play, they were like, I don't know if he meant to click Wide Guard or what. His idea made a lot of sense, especially since he got put behind after missing the Meteor Beam. Like, I'm going to make this really hard read. But it was also just one of the funniest, like, failed hard reads that I've seen. So.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, this is another just, in general, cool team. Like, anything with Iron Moth is always going to be fun, because it is a Pokemon that we just haven't seen a lot of. I actually can't remember the last time Iron Moth cut an event. I want to say it was just in Nox NAIC last year. I can't remember.
I couldn't tell you that it had, but...
Yeah, I know it cut an NAIC, and I don't think it cut anything in regulations D or E. There was someone in the server who was asking about an Iron Moth team that was brought up on the pod, and I couldn't remember when, Jay and I, like, we couldn't really remember when an Iron Moth team was brought up. Well, here you go. This is us bringing up a very, very interesting Iron Moth team. That has a lot of different modes to it, which is super, super unique.
Like this team a lot. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah, I think people who say that everyone plays the same Pokemon in VGC, take a look at this team. Like, again, it has a Gallade and an Iron Moth on it. Like, what else? What more do you want?
That has been the flavor of the month for VGC Twitter as of late. And I mean, there's just so many different teams in this, like, day two. Like, there's, like, Ting Lu Solo Dozo is, like, a new thing that's been popping up. There's just so many cool teams, like...
Yeah, just, you know, like, rounding out the rest of, like, day two. Yeah, we have... Where is it? Yep, right here. Ting Lu Solo Dozo with the Gouging Fire and a Chien Knight package. This is... Let's pull this up. This Ting Lu's Nightmare Fuel for me.
Yeah. Sand Tomb Rumination Taunt with the Rocky Helmet. Yeah, this... I love more Fissure. It does need more Fissure. I agree.
So
get rid of this Protect and play more Fissure.
I played a similar... That
is definitely not correct, but...
Well, so you say that. So I played a solo Dozo, Ting Lu team with, like, the Sand, with, like, the Sand Tomb Yawn at NAIC. I think it was a... and my opponent had Fissure. When we sat down, he just looked me dead in the eye and said, I'm going to click Fissure every turn you allow me to click Fissure. He didn't lie. He hit, like, three of them. And I appreciate that sort of honesty from someone. Yeah. But yeah, that this is if you want to do a like have like a fun like haha Fissure button funny button, this is the team to do it. This is also a team that I feel like is up and coming. At least the idea of it, like the solo Dozo Ting Lu with Gouge, and you could put the Dozo next to Gouging Fire with Howl to get those boosts to the attack stat so that you aren't super reliant on the Tatsugiri to do damage. I think that, again, this is just another sort of team that can play around with the Gouging Fire as a all-encompassing support damage mon.
Yeah, and you're the Oblivious on the Dozo, which allows you to get around the Incineroar, Intimidate spams... and just allows you to like really get set up. I mean, the heavy slams will Oko Fluttermane, and yeah, I really like the idea of like solo Dozo Ting Lu. It was something I played with a little bit back in maybe like Reg D, Reg E type time. But yeah, like really cool concept. I've seen it popping up quite a bit as of late.
Yeah. Another thing to note, just looking at the teams, we do see, we already saw the Hisuian Ursaluna with Brandon Davis, Aaron Traylor. He's been working on this, using this Moon balance for a while now in locals. He came in second.
I love Moon.
Yep.
Such a good name.
And you also have Rafael Bergara running almost exactly the same six as he was running. With that being said, two Pokemon that haven't really seen many Frigirath, nor have we seen the Blood Moon Ursaluna in Day 2. And those are two Pokemon that were real staples of Regulation F, and it seems like, at least stateside, in the North American portion of the game, at least for this event, it really fell off. The first Frigirath that we see is you, Carter. we had to, like, this team was probably, we have to look at it. Carter gave us this team, a Sun Room-ish team. You have the support Torkoal, like, with the Helping Hand, but you also have the Heat Wave Eruption, Terra Fire. You have the Walking Wake, Fluttermane Proto Sun mode. You have the Frigirath Ogerpon Cornerstone Trick Room mode, and then the Assault Vest Terra Ghost Incineroar to go and support really both modes. It's the Incineroar and the Sun, that Flare Blitz is doing a ton more damage than you possibly can think it can do, and the Assault Vest also lets it work as, honestly, again, like a decent offensive threat while in Trick Room.
You know, I'd explain the team, but I think that you did a better example than the insight I could give on this team, so...
Honestly, no, this is the next team. Like, it has the Walking Wake. You love... You said you wanted the Walking Wake.
I do love Walking Wake.
This is the team that you gotta... Like, when you hop back on laddering, this is the team
you couldn't catch me dead playing Ogerpon Cornerstone.
Bro, what do you mean?
It absolutely bonks, and it's a UDL winner. I don't want to hear that at any point.
Heard it.
Yeah, well, I'm saying never again, all right?
No, I think the Cornerstone really fits well with this team. The Wellspring, especially if you're doing Sun stuff, really doesn't fit. You're nerfing your damage if you want to bring the Torkoal. And the Heart Flame, while it does fit, when you already have the Torkoal and the Incineroar, you're just tripling down on those fire weaknesses, and that's just not great. Corner, like Ogre Pond Cornerstone also makes it next to Frigoraph. That is the most guaranteed trick room in the entire that you could possibly find.
Built in sash, baby.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I just don't like Cornerstone. I think it is a fine mon, I do, but...
Yeah, I don't like you.
Okay.
I just realized this is Specs Protect Fluttermane.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, that is actually something that, like... I mean, it's not overtaking Shadow Ball or anything, but, like...
Hold on now!
It has popped up a little bit because, like, knockoff on Incineroar is so prevalent.
Angela, like, what's the odds of that one?
So, this is another one that I've actually seen before. I don't know what the odds are, but, like, I think the idea of it is... Because people will double into that slot. People will double into, like, into the Flutter spot... Because it has the specs and people are projecting the damage.
I mean,
so if you know you can live the hit, that it's an easy double in.
Like,
so now you can click protect in front of that double in, let your partner do something, and then you have to switch the Fluttermane out.
We also saw like Banded Protect Urshifu a couple of tournaments ago do well. It also is just like helpful when Incineroar knocks you up. You have better counterplay than. Only clicking moves, like you can then use your protect. I mean, that fourth move slot a lot of the time is not being clicked very often, so it's like, yeah, maybe I'll just put protect there and give myself the chance to live a hit, get something pivoted, like Ro was saying, or if I get knocked off, hey, now I have an extra bit of counterplay that I can use to try and make things happen. Also, it's a way to potentially stall out Trick Room if you need to get a turn or two to get your wake in or your cornerstone or try to switch your flutter back in or whatever. Makes a decent amount of sense here.
Yeah, it's something that I wouldn't play because I know I would just play it wrong. But like it's not like, to our knowledge at least, it's not a team sheet error.
No, I don't think it is. I think this is a true one. I think we would be remiss not to mention Karibo's day two team.
I was going to say, no, we have to save the best for last. So hopefully we will be able to get Karibo on the pod at some point. But shout out to Karibo, one of a Litter Lessons vet who is, I believe, has been around longer in our community, longer than everyone here but Carter, for like Litter Lessons stuff.
Give me 2 seconds, I could be able to tell you.
Karibo is the GOAT. Me and him had a really great time talking about roller coasters and stuff in Knoxville.
Angela, you've been in longer by, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, so... Like,
wow.
But, like, that's... Yeah, so we're talking... This is... Yeah, so this is someone who's been in the community for, like, about 4 years... and it's always really great for just a great friend and honestly one of the best players in our community to go into a major and do insanely well. The Gouging Fire, now this Gouging Fire King Gambit team has a Tornadus Rain package to not only boost up your Wellspring Ogre Pond's damage output. But we see with the Landorus, it's 3-attack protect with the Sandseer Storm. Now, Sandseer Storm isn't as accurate, and people aren't running it with rain, which is why you usually see the substitute over it. But for this team specifically, being able to click Rain Dance, Sandseer Storm, oh, buddy, the amount of damage you're able to do, and there's not much that's, like, the only thing that can really, like, safely switch into that is a flying type. Because sure, you can go with your grass type, Ogre Pond or your grass type Rillaboom into it. Oh wait, Sandseer Storm might burn you, and now you just lost your grass type's damage output for the entire game because like on a switch in.
Yeah, the Rain Dance here is also really only an offensive hindrance to Gouging Fire. While it defensively is really really great for Chi and Pao, King Gambit, and to some extent Ogre Pond as well. Really nerfing that fire type damage that would just run into those Pokemon and allowing them to take those hits better, especially on like something like King Gambit. where you have that really great bulk already. You really don't want to be taking like a heat wave from Chiyu or something like that, or Flare Blitz from Incineroar for that matter. You now have a really great Incineroar counter package with Covert Cloak, Tornadus, and King Gambit. You can then low kick into it pretty safely, not worry about the Flare Blitz damage. I really happy for Karibo. He's just one of the best dudes.
Have you all really looked who Karibo played?
No, we're gonna look now.
So round three played Olivia Molodeski. Olivia. I'm so sorry. I know I just butchered that. That is a box of Timbits.
That is Timbits, on Discord. I thought so.
Yep. Nishan. Then play well, both Joshis
and Nishant.
Yes. Follow up with Montana Ma, one of the top players in the Pacific Northwest, and then getting the win in against Kimo Nishimura. Day two, starting off against L. Jason Kissinger having Yuki as your last opponent. What a gauntlet that he had to go through.
Dude, he had a tough tournament. Like, even to get to his 7-2, there are some real, real good players in that 7-2.
Yeah, that is...
That's right, Karibo's just better.
Yeah, he's no, built different, just, brother. He's absolutely built different. You know, it's the fact that he was one of the few Canadian players that actually day two'd. So, you know, it was that home turf. He was there to represent his country and to represent us to a lesser extent. And he did a damn good job at doing both. And I know everyone from Little Lessons is super, super proud of you, Josh.
Teams, special plays, special players. That's yep. There were
eight Canadians out of the, 36?
Yeah.
36 no, you, cut.
You did have, then, like, looking at just outside of Top Cut, Navji, Tuong, Patrick Chen, and Mitchell Shi. Like, you had players, like, right after who missed Cut, but yeah.
I did some looking while you were talking about some teams, and I want to play a game of which Mon placed higher. And you're not ready for this heat today.
I'm ready.
I am not. It. I'm not.
Suicune or Pikachu?
Like
we saw a Suicune on stream.
We did, but I feel like Pikachu actually placed higher because otherwise Carter wouldn't be asking us this question.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yep, in 58.
Someone went 50, went 6-3 with Pikachu.
There it is in 58th. Oh my god.
And there's no and there's Noah's team that we did see on stream. So
And it's not even like Light Ball Pikachu, it's Eviolite Nuzzle Helping Hand out. Endeavor. That is crazy. Good on you.
Okay, so, of course, we see the Pikachu here, and that is what draws your eyes. And then you look at some of the other choices. The Life Orb Terra Steel Urshifu, the Wide Lens,
You gotta make sure you hit your Bleakwind Storms.
With Rain Dance, to make sure that you hit the Bleakwind Storms anyways. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes you just gotta go full send.
I'm mad that we're not, like, Thunder on Pikachu. Like, instead of Endeavor, just play Thunder.
I think Endeavor, though, makes more sense because your HP...
You're not... Like, you're living hits.
But your base HP stat is just so bad in general that, honestly, I think Endeavor from full health does a good bit of damage into some Pokemon.
There is... The best part about this is that, like, Eviolite on Mons like Pikachu just... make no sense because it has zero bulk to begin with.
Your bulk is 35, 40, 50.
Like, your bulk after that is, like, as good as, like... as, like, what, like... Urshifu? Like, maybe... Like, it's worse than Urshifu, actually. It's, like... It's just bad. Like...
Yeah, so... So your base HP for Pikachu, assuming just no HP invest, you're at 110 HP. So, like, I'm just gonna, like, so into a Pokemon like Rillaboom. Rillaboom, like max
down to half, right?
Yeah, you're doing over half damage. Like, so, like, that's the point I'm saying with the Endeavor. It actually makes sense because your HP is
Thanks,
so
I hate it.
I don't know why you don't just run Sash on this thing, though.
Like, yeah, if you're gonna play Endeavor, play Sash.
It just runs
I agree, I'm not arguing that. I also, oh, like, along with it being Lightning Rod, I will say, and I think the Lightning Rod is super cool because you can redirect the...
Yeah, get those thunderclaps.
Should have been
Terra exactly.
Fairy. Should have been Terra gonna... Fairy. That's your all-in-out Raging Bolt counter.
The Pikachu.
You're doing 50% to Raging Bolt with Endeavor.
I know!
And it can't touch you once you Terra Fairy. It's like...
Well, the Calm Mind Raging Bolts, that calm, just nothing.
Like, I mean, the only thing it's hitting you with is what, like, Snarl? And then it's like, oh, you're Endeavored, baby, like, see you later.
Oh no, you hit my Pikachu!
You hit my Pikachu with your weak move, which knocked me basically down to 2 HP, like, haha, see you later, bud!
It's like, call the ambulance, not for
but
me!
Not for me! Dude, I would have lost my mind if Pikachu day tuned.
Well, it was almost
was so close.
He lost the winning end to Joshua Dank, who did bubble cut. But yeah,
Dang
actually,
you
look at his losses. His losses were Brandon Davis, who came in eighth. You had Josh Dank, who I believe was 13th. So, like, two of his three losses were against, like, the best player, like, some of the best players at this event. And then,
imagine sitting down for your win and in, and you see Pikachu on the team sheet.
Actually, I think all of his losses at day two at the very
Yeah, no, Davarone, not even going to try that. I will say that, and it's going to sound really bad. Daravone.
That was his first name, Carter.
Yeah, that was the first name. Yes. But yeah, so all
Pikachu.
All three. So yeah, all three of his losses day two.
That's so funny, man.
And like, yeah,
picked one of those up if he was focused Sash. No, I'm just messing.
I mean, maybe
this is amazing. Like, actually,
dude, you outspeed Incineroar so you can get a fake out off into it. Like, is this the new hot tech?
No, I will say
you
like,
all asked me to come back.
Honestly,
I want that to be known.
I'm just so intrigued the idea now of Endeavor on just a low base HP Pokemon.
Oh, you want to talk about Endeavor? Sentret won a match. Not for it, Sentret.
Sentret's cool, man. I like Sentret. Shout out to
Endeavor.
Speed. Oh my god, no, that's Sentret. Not even a bit.
That's not even a bit.
Endeavor, helping hand quick attack.
I'm less surprised to hear that than I am to hear, like, Pikachu going 6-3.
Yeah, like, one of those makes sense. Terra Normal Sentret makes sense.
But like, okay, so you're Terra Normal solely for the quick attack. It's like, you don't do any damage. The one thing that maybe gave Pikachu the boost this week was, I believe, it was either yesterday or today, was the 1-year anniversary of the Pokemon Journeys anime series ending, and through that, Ash and Pikachu retiring to their next adventure that wouldn't be shown on screen. So maybe this was like a real-life Ash Ketchum situation.
This was it.
Yeah.
Dude, every single one of their wins, they had a, like, prominent water type on their team. I'm just saying, like, Pikachu could have gone harder.
It could have. But I think if you were to run Pikachu, fake out Nuzzle is just Nuzzle is just such a super useful
Nuzzle is
move.
So, like, it's bananas.
Helping Hand is always just unreal. And again, the Endeavor, well, it was Endeavor on Raichu that won Wolf World. So again, this Pikachu was a world champ diffing everyone to go 6-3.
Congrats there wasn't on your a run, single Jake
Raichu.
Kim.
There's not seriously, a single amazing. Raichu in like the tournament.
No, because there's a Pikachu instead.
This is the greatest thing you've ever found.
Yeah, good job, Carter.
Dude, I can this find is why some we gyms. Have you.
This is why you're here.
Yeah.
Nothing else, man. Just
I thought I hit the peak when I found War Turtle going 4 and 5. And then I just kept digging.
Yeah. Are there any other teams you want to bring up, or do you want to just...
Oh, no, I'm done. I
think
we got plenty. I don't think I can peak higher than Day 2 Pikachu.
No. Well, almost Day 2 Pikachu.
Almost Day 2 Pikachu.
Lost to everyone who made Day 2 Pikachu. And so, with that, let's... Nope. Whoops. There we go. Get us out of here.
With that, thank you so much for watching, everyone. Let us know how you would have day 2'd with Pikachu. Leave your sets down in the comments below. Make sure you like and subscribe as well.
I feel like I'm legally obligated to ladder with Pikachu now.
Follow us over on Twitter to go and see when Carter and inevitably ladders with Pikachu. Make sure you guys follow us over at LR Lessons. Go check out our website, www.lrlessons.com. Come join the community Discord, and we can talk all about what other random techs we can find in different tournaments and regionals, and what fun techs you brought to whatever tournament you wanted to play in. Make sure you check us out over on Patreon and on Discord supporters as well. Shout out to Papa Swish and Johnny Bravo for your support over on Patreon, and shout out to Smeargle for your support over on Discord. And with that, brothers, we're out. See you all next time. Special teams, special plays, special players.